Good morning, everybody. Good morning. And just before I start, I would just like to say a big thank you to Dave Van for organising Santas yesterday. Dave and Laura, he did a great, great job. And it's not over yet. I know there are Santa suits to sort and all kinds of things. So thank you to Dave and thank you to all of you for being there. Before I start, I do have something just so exciting to give you. What I'd like you all to do at the end is to pick up one of these, if you wouldn't mind, from the piano over there and take it home with you. This is your Christmas viewing. Love from River Church. What it is a DVD from Andrew Southwood, the new leader of River's finance department. And you'll remember Andrew came here and shared with us about River Finance. And what they've done is they've prepared this DVD, which is that presentation, but also some additional material from Lina Reed, who's Andy's wife, on giving and blessing, and an article in there to read from Rick Warren. And if every household in River could take one of these, there's been one for everybody, if you could watch it in your small groups or on your own, in your families, that would be fantastic. And we would all get a whole one view of finance in River. So there you go, your Christmas viewing. Who needs the Queen's speech? And who needs the Christmas Day movie when you can have a finance DVD from River Church? Be blessed, people. Okay. You can still watch. You can. Strictly Come Dancing is, it's right up. We've got to watch that. We've got to watch that. Okay. Now then, everybody, what I'm just going to do is I'm just going to start with a clip, Jordan. So there we go. That's what Advent is about. And I have here the most beautiful Advent wreath, which has been prepared for me by Rachel Smith. And my lovely assistant is going to come and help me. Come on, Chris, because I can't manage microphones, clickers, matches. And what I just wanted to do was I just wanted to light some of these Advent calendars. We've had our first week, a purple candle represents hope. It's the prophecy candle. It represents hope. Our second purple candle was last week. It's the preparation candle about getting ready, and it represents peace. And this week, we're on the pink candle. Pink? Which is the shepherd candle, which represents joy. Thank you, Chris. And we're going to keep those going for just as long as that fire alarm allows us to. Next week is another purple candle. That's the angel candle, and that represents love. And finally, on Christmas Day, you would light the white candle, which represents Jesus, who is the spotless Lamb of God who has washed us clean. So this week is that pink candle, joy. It's all about joy. There's an Advent wreath for you to see from the back. And the message that the angels brought was joy. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And that is the great news of joy that we have and we hold. Now, this week, I was given the topic of challenging encounters. And actually, I want to link that with this theme of joy this week, just really simply by looking at the three encounters that took place. There were the shepherds, the wise men, and Herod. And what we have, first of all, is we have the shepherds. They had a challenging encounter with God, with his angels, and also with Jesus, the baby in the stable. And their response was one of joy. We read, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen." And you know, as we truly encounter God, it leads to us hearing and seeing great and precious things. Jeremiah 33:11 says to us, "Call to me," that's God, "and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." So as we encounter God, it leads us to hearing great things just like them, which in turn leads us into praise and worship and joy. The second encounter was the wise men. They too had a challenging encounter with God, the star, and in the stable with Jesus. And you know, their response too was one of joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they saw the young child, they fell down and they worshipped him. They presented gifts to him. When we encounter God day by day, you know, maybe we've had to journey for that encounter. Sometimes we need to press in, don't we? But when we do, it is so sweet. We have great joy, which causes us to fall down and worship God and give him the gift, the ultimate gift we can give, which is ourselves. Then there was another encounter, wasn't there? He doesn't look very cheerful. He wasn't. This is Herod. He too had a challenging encounter with God. He heard from the wise men the good news about the newborn king of the Jews, but his response was not one of joy. We have Herod. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Now that word troubled is really interesting. If you look it up in the Greek, it means stirred, agitated. If you took water that had silt at the bottom and it separated out and you shook it up, that's what the word means. Made muddy, thick, not clear, confused, disordered. That's how Herod felt when he encountered God. But do you know why that was? That was because he believed the wrong things about Jesus. The wrong things about God. He believed that Jesus was coming to depose him as king, to take away his power, to break him, and to crush him. But what do we know about Jesus? Jesus comes to give us life. He comes to release us to be fully human, to live in the life he called us to. He comes to give us power, to make us powerful people, extending his kingdom in this world. So when we believe the truth about Jesus, we don't become like Herod in his challenging encounter and become troubled. And you know, guys, we can encounter God every day if we choose to. We really can, every day, every minute. And as that Advent clip showed you, it's about welcoming God into our everyday lives. And our choice is really, how are we going to respond? We have the possibility to be the most joyful, hopeful people in the world. But so often we're not, because we don't believe the right things about God, and our joy is robbed from us. I have here another clip for you to enjoy. So, spread the joy. You know, we can actually only spread joy if we are joyful people. And we're going to go and have a look at that. But whilst you listen to that, I thought, since it's Christmas and I've just shown you a celebrations advert, I thought what I'd do is I've got one here. There's a chocolate for everybody. Who said I don't give you things at Christmas? There you go. You see, I love you all. Help yourself and chew quietly. So, spread the joy, the celebration that we actually have. But we can only spread joy if we have it. So what is joy? Okay. Joy, if you look that word up in the Greek, means cheerfulness. It actually means calm delight, gladness. So it doesn't necessarily mean a chandelier hanging, whooping strangeness. That might not be how we express ourselves. It does mean this cheerfulness, this enduring, calm delight within us. Now, I am actually quite a serious person. Growing up, people have often said to me, passers-by, smile, love, it'll never happen. It's true, it's completely true. It's made me realise that actually I am quite a serious person. I actually have a really, really busy brain. There's always a lot going on. And I'm kind of walking around not seeing what I'm seeing, not seeing what I'm looking at. I'm kind of in the... So if there's anybody here who I have walked past in Maidenhead and I've looked directly at you and you've said, hello, Kerry, and I've just kept on walking, I am really sorry. Can I just say now that happens quite a lot to me. But it's this part of this serious-minded, I'm kind of weighing it all up. And somebody did give me a postcard that said, it was Jean Whiffin, if you're carrying the weight of the world, remember God never asked you to. I have to keep remembering that. And what I would say is it's actually not my personality to be particularly joyful or laugh much. Jonathan's biggest amusement with me is we watch comedy films that I don't laugh. I laugh on the inside. But that's what I'd say. So actually, I'm quite serious, you know. But you know what that means? What that means, if I say that and I believe that, is that joy is an optional fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's only for certain people. That's what I'm really saying if I say that. And that's not true, is it? The whole fruit of the Holy Spirit is for every one of us. It also means that when the Bible says that a merry heart is good medicine, it didn't really mean it, because it's not true for me. But that's not true either, is it? Do you see when I'm saying that? There are sort of assumptions I'm making that actually aren't true. I'm also saying I can't be joyful, this thing that God's given me, until my circumstances change. Now that can't be how God wanted us to live, can it? And it also means God hasn't given me a sense of humour. Don't answer. But I don't think that's right either. The truth is that we all can and we all need to walk in joy and laughter, because the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is our strength to get through difficult things. And I know there are people in this room at the moment who are facing really difficult things, really difficult circumstances. But that joy of the Lord, which is different from rib-tickling, cackling hilarity at something, that calm delight, that cheerfulness in our God is what takes us through those things. And just as if to reinforce this business about me being a bit serious and not having a sense of humour, just before going, I was going over this talk again, and I got a scripture through on my phone. And I really encourage you, if you can use things like that to get scripture in you, it's fantastic. Do you remember I shared that thing with you from that survey? That actually reflection on scripture is the most powerful, important factor in spiritual growth. Do you remember I shared that with you? So I've tried to take that seriously, but actually reading properly and thinking about during the day the scripture that comes on my phone. But as I was preparing this, the scripture that came through was, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Which was funny enough anyway, God telling me to rejoice. But when I actually looked up that word favored in the Greek, the root word of that is joy, which is what the definition I've just shared with you. So God says to every one of us, you are favored people. Your root is joy. Joy in me, God. Joy in him. That's our root. We are called to be joyful people. So my question to the Lord was, well, okay, where do I get my joy from then? And this is a great scripture. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this ties up all three of our Advent weeks, doesn't it? We've got hope there, we've got joy, and we've got peace. Joy, hope, and peace fill us in believing. Our God is a God of hope. And he will fill us with joy as we believe. And do you remember I said that was Herod's problem? He believed the wrong things about Jesus. So at the moment we believe the right things, hope fills us. And that leads to joy filling us, because the God of hope can then fill us with his joy and his peace. Hope is the confident expectation that good is coming. And if we have hope, we know that we're believing truth about God. And at the moment, our hope level is low. It's an indication to us that we're not believing truth, that actually we're believing the lies that the enemy so subtly just sows across us, just like Herod did, and we become troubled, agitated. Let me just give you some truths here to let hope arise. God is good, so there are no hopeless circumstances. There are no hopeless circumstances. There are actually only hopeless people. God is for us. Who can be against us? Who? God is for us. God is for us. God wants to bless us. Why would he not want to bless you as being different? We are no different, no better, no less than any one of each other. If God wants to bless me, God wants to bless you. That is his character and his nature. There are no yes, buts, not me. He wants to bless us. God loves us, and he is a good and loving father. Steve Backlund is a pastor in Bethel Church in Reading, and he says this: if I don't have glistening hope for all things, I must be believing a lie in the situation. So what we have to do is every so often during our day is just take a step back and think, am I feeling joy? Do I have joy at this moment? And a great question to ask God is, are you feeling hopeless about this situation, God? And I can guarantee you the answer is no. God does not feel hopeless about any situation that we find ourselves in. So then we can say, okay, what am I believing wrong in this situation? What truth do I need to believe about you and in it so that my hope and my joy can be restored? Let me give you a practical example. I had a really bad day in the week. I had a few, but not deeply tragic things, and I know people are facing those at the moment, but just one of those days. It was really, really busy anyway. The car began to play up. I am not good with cars. I had to go to the garage anyway about another thing, which I was unimpressed with, and then I had to do this thing as well. I had tons on my mind. I had a number of difficult people's situations that I needed to get involved with and deal with, and my stress levels were here. And my default is to become really serious. I've already told you that. I become stressed. I rush around because I'm trying to sort it all out because it needs doing by the end of the day. And I remembered I was doing this talk. And I thought, you know what? I really need to try this out. So I just stopped. I stood back and I said, do I have glistening hope about today? Well, the answer was no, I did not have glistening hope. So I said, okay, what am I believing about today? Well, what I was believing was that I had to sort it all out, that God, if I was honest, wouldn't help me, or that God couldn't help me, that actually a miracle of time couldn't happen for me, or wouldn't happen for me, that actually this kind of life stuff is just stuff we have to get on with and deal with, and actually God, you know, is doing more important things in the universe, so stop whinging. That's what I was believing about the day when I was truly honest about it. So I asked that question, God, are you hopeless about this situation today? And the answer is no. He said, I'm not hopeless. I'm not hopeless at all. So I said, okay, what truth do I need to believe today? And there were things we know, but we forget and we don't bring to mind. And I needed to remind myself that God is for me. God is not against me. I needed to remind myself that God's will is to bless me and to help me. I reminded myself that he's there always and will never leave me or forsake me. And I had to remind myself that his grace is sufficient for all things. And I sat and I did that and I dwelt on those truths that we know that are in us. And I brought them to mind throughout the day when the stress began to come back. And I kept in an attitude of worship all day because hope leads to joy. And joy leads to us praising and glorifying God and giving him the gift of ourself. And you know what? I had a really good day and it all went fine. But do you know what? It wouldn't have done had I not done that. Had I not stepped back and said, okay, am I hopeful? Am I joyful? Why not? What am I believing that's wrong? And it's so easy, isn't it? We all know a lot of the Christian truths, but we just somehow don't use them practically. We can all say, oh, God's good, but we just don't somehow use it when we need it. So it was a real, real lesson to me. And what happened was the God of hope filled me with joy and peace. So we too can be people who walk in hope, which leads to joy, which leads to peace, so that our everyday encounters with Jesus bring us joy, bring us praise, bring worship to God, where we can bring gifts to God of our worship. He wants our worship as a gift, just like the shepherds and the wise men did. So that's my encouragement to us this morning in this season of hope and joy and peace, to be people who really take what we know and use it as we walk through life, bringing hope and joy, not just for ourselves, but then releasing that in the situations that we find ourselves with, people who don't know the Lord, who so much more even than us need hope and joy. The way I want to finish is just, I want to play you a song in a moment, but I'd just like to us all just to be quiet and just still before the Lord. It might help you to close your eyes. Advent is about not losing heart. Week 3, the expected guest has almost arrived. And you may be facing some really difficult situations. And I just felt like God wanted me to say to you, remember that sentence from that Advent clip. The expected guest has almost arrived. Hang in. Hang in there, guys. Jesus is coming. He is coming. And I'd just like you to just quietly think about how you feel at this moment. Do you feel joyful? That calm delight inside? Have you got hope in the situations that you're facing? And if not, what is it that you're believing that might be stopping the God of hope filling you with joy?